bill for $600 from South Georgia Medical Center, and one day the statement came, and Leon opened the mail, and he said, why did we owe $600 when you paid $100? I said, well, I don't want to give it to him all at one time. What is it, $100 a month? And, well, he sort of made me a little bit mad when he said this, and then I thought, well, he's really right. He said, Normarie, you've got the money to pay that. Why are you holding it back? They have every right to their money. They perform a service for us, and they have a right to have their money. And I thought about it. He's really right. We should pay our bills, and we should pay them on time. Usually, hospitals will give you some leeway if you are having a rough time. But I did have the money in the bank. Banking today has changed dramatically. I can remember years ago telling my students that one day there will come a time when you won't have to write a check. And now we can see that very clearly. Well, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you are using online banking? You're doing this using technology. You can pay your bills online, or you can use automatic drafts. I try to use automatic drafts for all of mine, then I don't have to even go to the computer to do it. And that saves time, and you know time is money, but it also saves what else? A lot of stamps. And then you don't have to buy. I remember the day when I used to write 60 checks a month. I write about 15 now. So I don't have to buy nearly as many boxes of those blank checks. And, you know, they don't come free. I see people at Palm Beach Lakes. I haven't seen it at Central, but I see a lot of people with the sermon is going on. They're opening their, not their Bibles, but they've got their iPhones and their Blackberries, and they're looking up the scriptures that way. I got to thinking about that this week. What if, when we pass the baskets, can you imagine this? We just have our iPhone out and click and tell them how much we want to have withdrawn from our checking account. Maybe one day that'll happen. Okay, now, I told y'all the first night that I'm going to have a lesson on how to balance a bank statement. For those of you that know how to do it, maybe this will be an easy lesson. But we know from what I've read and what I've heard from bankers that most people don't bank about 80 to 87%. One place I heard 81, I heard 87% of people don't balance their bank statements. A lot of times it's because they don't know how. So they're going through life just guessing about what the balance is. And you know, you can't just call up the internet and find out what your balance is, and that's not your true balance. Why is that not your true balance? Because you have all those outstanding things. All right, so we're going to look at what changes. Usually, your checkbook balance is usually more than your bank balance, because what you usually have are the outstanding checks. You can't have an outstanding deposit. I've got one right now. I mailed a check to my bank, and I wrote it in my checkbook and added it to my checkbook, but the bank hasn't got it yet. They'll probably have it by tomorrow. So that would be an outstanding deposit. And, of course, if I looked at my bank balance, I do this every morning. I get up every morning. I look at my credit card statement. I've been a victim of identity theft several times. And one time I caught it, like 5 minutes after it happened, because I got up early in the morning and I was looking at it, and here comes this $2,500 charge, and then a few minutes later, a $750 charge for a mud flaps in Michigan and California. And it probably came, well, I actually called the people. I said, don't stop this payment. And one of them said, it's probably coming from Ghana. The president of Ghana will not do anything about all this stuff that's going on. A lot of it's coming from Africa. Anyway, an outstanding deposit is one that you would add to your bank balance, and then you find out which checks have not cleared the bank. Those are called outstanding checks, and you would have to subtract those. Well, what do you have to do to your checkbook balance? Many of you have service charges, a monthly fee that you have to pay. Well, I would suggest to you that you do the free checking. You can get free checking with no service charge if you'll keep a set minimum balance. And that balance is usually, you know, $1,500 or maybe more, $1,000 or $1,500. If you have that large balance in there, then you probably don't have to worry about balancing checks. You know, you have to buy those blank checks, so that could be another thing. There could be other kinds of charges. But those things would have to be subtracted. And then any interest earned, if you have one of those free checking accounts, you've probably got one that's tied to a money market fund, and you're earning a little bit of interest. It used to be a nice little sum every month for me, but it hasn't been much the last year or two. Okay. I want you to turn in your lesson. There's just two pages of script. Take all the rest of the sheets out except for the scriptures to look up this week. You should have pages 68, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71. She had four pages.
Checked off.
not checked off. Why hasn't it been checked off?
That's weird.
It's outstanding. The bank doesn't have it yet. You deposited it, but they haven't given you credit for it yet. You could have taken it to the bank the day they were preparing this. And then two checks are outstanding, checks 107 and 108. Okay. Now go to the third sheet. It says bank reconciliation. And we're just going to look at the left side to begin with. Now, this form, where do you find this form? It's usually on the back of the bank statement. And it may not look exactly like this, but it's going to have the same information on it. They put it in a different order. All right, on the left-hand side, it says balance shown on the bank statement. Look at your bank statement. And don't do like my students do. Don't put down the beginning balance. Which balance do we want? The ending balance. How much is that? $3,547. Okay? And the next thing it says is add deposits not on the statement. What do we call a deposit that's not on the statement?
Outstanding.
And did we have one? $1,950. You don't always have one, but we do this. All right, use your calculators, and you're asked for a total, so let's get a total.
Okay, what's our total? What'd you get?
$5,008. Okay. Now, the other side, the checkbook balance, look at your check register and tell me the last total on your check register. $5,010. Does everybody see that? Okay. And then it says add interest or dividends earned or other credits not in the checkbook. Did we have anything on the bank statement that wasn't in the checkbook? Like that? No. So your total then is going to be the same. You're just going to bring down the total. And then it says subtract service charges and other bank charges not in the checkbook. What was the only thing that we had? The $2 service charge. I usually write SC. And we're going to subtract that $2. Actually, they're asking for, they're asking for a total. A total of $2. And then we're going to get the corrected checkbook balance of $5,008. After we subtract two from that. Now, we're not finished. My students always think they're finished at this point. What have we not done? We haven't recorded the service charge in the check register because the check register, now that this says 5008 and this says 5008, we've got to make our check register say that too. So go back to your check register and on the next blank line, write the date. Did it fall again? Oh, okay.
Because when you turn around, you're facing the speakers, and so it's they said,
try not to turn around.
Maybe we can move this back a little bit.
I'm through with it.
Oh, okay.
You can put it either under the other column or under the payment column. Just make sure your, after you subtracted, your balance is the same as what we have up here on the board. Now, that was easy, wasn't it? When does it get hard? When you've made mistakes in your checkbook. But if you kept pretty accurate records, it shouldn't be too hard to do. All right, that's doing it with the old-fashioned way. All right, now let's get the sheet that says balancing your checkbook using online banking services. And since I don't have that form in front of me, I have this little formula I use. If you look at the little orange box in the middle, it says Bob Brown plus dogs minus cats equals Charlie Brown. And what does Bob Brown stand for? If you look at the little legend underneath it, Bob Brown stands for bank balance. And dogs stands for deposits, or not just any deposit, but an outstanding deposit. And CAT stands for checks, and not just any kind of check, but an outstanding check. So if you take your bank balance and you add the outstanding deposits and subtract the outstanding checks, that should equal your checkbook balance. Not always. Notice the note I have at the bottom. Here's all the exceptions. Probably it will equal your checkbook balance, but they may have some charges that you don't have, like those service charges or the blank checks, or maybe you bounced a check and there's a $30 fee for that. So you have to, if it doesn't equal it, you got to make sure there's no other charges that the bank is charging you. And then after you subtract any of that, if it's still not correct, then you've probably made a mathematical error. Okay, we're going to use that formula to complete two problems on the next page. We're going to do the first one together. Look at problem number one. First line says $872. That's our online bank balance at Safe and Sure Bank. You pulled up Safe and Sure Bank and looked, and it said you had $872. But we know that that's not usually accurate. Then it says we made a deposit for $50, but it's not recorded on the online bank statement. And then we had a check for $17, check 118, that was subtracted from our checkbook, but it's not recorded on the bank statement balance. And then we had another check for $100 that was subtracted in the checkbook, but it's not on the bank statement either. And then we know that our checkbook is $805. So obviously there's something there, because we have an online bank balance of $872, but our checkbook says $805. It says less. All right, the first line says Bob Brown, and Bob Brown stands for what? Bank balance. So look and write down on that line how much that bank balance was. It was $872. And the next line said, add the total of dogs, deposits that are outstanding. Well, we only had one, and how much was it? $50. So put it next to that plus sign, because we're going to add outstanding deposits. And then it says subtract the total of cats. Subtract the total of the checks that are outstanding. We had $100 and $17, so that should be $117. So next to the minus line, put $117. Now use your calculator to add $50 and subtract $117 from $872. And tell me what you get. Everybody get $805? And the next thing it says is the new bank balance the same as your checkbook balance? Well, that last line told us the checkbook balance was $805. So you should have $805 twice and circle yes. All right, I'm going to give you a few more minutes to do the next problem. We'll check our answers, and then we're going to, with a little bit of time we have left, we're going to talk about some things we've missed. About finished. Our bank balance was $229, and then we had two outstanding deposits, and that would have been for $47. So we should have added 47 to that 229, and then subtracted the outstanding checks. There was just one for $80. So our new checkbook balance was 196. Okay, now you can stick those sheets back in your notebook. Okay, and I want you to turn in your books to page 61. I'm sorry, page 62, excuse me, 62. Last week our lesson was on insurance and we sort of ran out of time. So I want to talk a little bit about types of insurance that you probably don't want to buy. We talked about who needs life insurance and what was the answer to that. You need life insurance if what? If someone is going to depend on you financially after you're gone. That's the answer to whether you need life insurance or not. So some people may not need life insurance. And we know that if you're elderly, hopefully by that time you can be self-insured. You probably don't need life insurance because it's going to be very expensive to buy it. And hopefully you'll have enough savings that you can at least bury yourself and have your debts paid off. All right, at the bottom of page 62, it says insurance to avoid. One of them is credit life insurance. It's very, very expensive. Credit life insurance is when you buy something like a car or, a car would be an example. And they want you to buy life insurance so that if you were to die, or like let's say my husband were to die, then the car would be paid off. Well, it's extremely overpriced. And when you go into a car lot and buy a car, folks, they make their money not on the car. They make their money in the finance office selling you stuff like credit life insurance. Well, it costs about 10 times what term life insurance costs. So, and I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I started trying to be pretty smart about buying a car. And I remember we bought a Ford one time. It was used. And I took my calculator with me. And when they had all those papers for us to sign, I added up everything and subtracted everything that and did the numbers and found out they had made a $500 error. So because I had my calculator, I bet you we would have never gotten a call. You know, it might have been an error that they, of course, it was on their side, not on mine. But I caught that $500 error, so it was well worth taking the calculator. But I remember a number of years later, my car was using a lot of oil. We had decided we would get another car. We were going to buy one used. We were in Atlanta. We had talked about it, but we hadn't decided yet what we were going to get. And we went to a car lot. That's the worst. Don't go to the car lot. I saw this car and I looked at Leon and I said, I want it. And so I started telling, he was off looking at it in the back, and I was talking to the salesman, and I said, yeah, I told him everything that was wrong with the car. I told Leon, this is the one I want, but I was telling him, and I said, you know, my brother-in-law sells used cars, so I can probably get him to get me this, you know. So he comes up with this great deal. We weren't prepared. We didn't have, we usually get the loan ahead of time. You know, I've told you, don't get the loan from the lender. We usually get the loan ahead of time if we're going to borrow the money. And because it's going to probably be a better interest rate, and that's where they make their money, too, on the loans. Well, we weren't prepared. So we hadn't got a check. We didn't have the money in the bank at the time. So we had to go ahead and finance it through them. And we said, let's just finance it through them. And then when we get home, you know, in a few months, we'll just pay it off. And that's what we planned to do. Well, I didn't have a calculator with me. And we got home, and I had put the contract in the glove compartment. We got home about 5 or 6 months later. I had forgotten all about that contract being in there. I said, oh, my goodness, where is that contract? And then I found it in the glove compartment. Over in the margin where you didn't even see the numbers, they stuck in $700 for credit life insurance. I said, we have never approved of this. We never agreed to this because we never buy credit life insurance. And I kept calling the dealer, and I'm in South Georgia, and this is Atlanta, and they're giving me the runaround. Well, we'll have somebody call you back like the third or fourth time, and they're still going to call me back. And finally, I don't know how I found it, but I finally found the actual insurance company was in Texas and called them, and I said, do I have this insurance? I was even wondering if I did. And they said, yes. So I called. I told them, I said, I want it canceled. But I had already paid out a couple of $100 by that time. Credit life insurance is grossly overpriced. So the thing to do is, if you really want that life insurance, just go buy some term insurance, and it will cost you a dollar for every 10 you would spend on credit life insurance. It's not a good buy. On page 63, now, I don't always agree with my husband and my son about this. My husband and I have discussions about this. He likes extended warranties, and I don't, because of what all I've read about them. You're rarely going to get your money out of an extended warranty. But, you know, he'll make this comment, well, you know, when we had that car and we used extended warranty, I said, yeah, that one time. We just don't agree on this. But they say that if you get an extended warranty, some people want that. And fine if you want it, but just remember, you're probably not going to get your money out of it. Usually you don't. But that's one of the things they try to sell you in that finance office. Now, if you'll look about halfway down, right above the word conclusion, you'll see some other types of insurance that you want to avoid. Charge card insurance. Oh, how many times have I had them try to get me to buy insurance for my credit cards? You're only liable for $50. That is the most you will ever lose with a credit card if somebody steals your identity. And I've had it happen to me 3 times, and I've never lost a dime yet. So you don't need that insurance, although they'll try to get you to. No, that would be credit life insurance. They're paying off your balance for you if you die. But you're probably going to have to pay it. They may offer it for you free. A lot of credit card companies will offer it free, and most people don't even realize they have it. So probably don't have very many people even think about it when they've had a death. But that's not the same thing, I don't think. All right, credit disability insurance. It says makes payments for you if you become disabled or can't work. You ought to have some disability insurance that would cover that. Mortgage life insurance pays off your house if you die. It's very expensive. You know, $200 or $300 a month for credit for this mortgage life insurance. You just need to buy some life insurance and get some term. And if you want $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever, add it to your term rather than buying the mortgage life insurance. Air travel life insurance. How many times have I gone through an airport and seen that? Buy life insurance. Did you know that if I break my leg on the way into the plane, it's not going to pay a dime? It's only during the flight. Well, you're 61. I'm trying to remember what that number is. Somebody told me that not long ago. 61 more times more likely to have to die in a car wreck than you are in a plane crash. Still, some people don't want to get on a plane, but I guess maybe it makes you feel better to have that life insurance. A waiver of premium pays the premium on a life policy if you become disabled. And rental car insurance. We always decline rental car insurance because our insurance company will cover rental cars. But don't rent a car without finding out first. You need to call your agent. Most insurance companies will, your auto insurance company will probably cover a rental car. So you probably don't need it. But you need to check first and find out. Let's see how much time we got left. Okay. We got 3 or 4 minutes left, not really enough time to. One thing you really need to read is credit, and that's in lesson three. We never got to it, and that would be over. Let's see, page 27. The C's of credit about halfway down. Your credit rating, I'm sure you've seen all the ads on television about credit rating. Now, a credit score is different from credit. Your credit report. Credit report lists all the people you owe money to right now and in the past, and a record of your payments, how often you pay, and if you pay on time or if you just didn't pay. And then your credit score is different, though. It's an actual number, somewhere between, I think the highest you can get is like 850. And the lowest is like 300 and something. You want to keep it up toward that higher number. And how do they base you? I remember one lady I worked with got furious with a credit union through our school system because they turned her down for a loan. And she said, well, so-and-so got a loan. Well, I didn't want to tell her, but your credit is based on the facts, and you create the facts. And she created the facts, and that's why she got turned down. But if you look right there in the middle, there are five things that they look at. First is your character, and that's your reputation of paying on time. And then your capacity, your ability to repay. I mean, you have to make enough money in order to repay. And your capital, that's how many assets you have. And the conditions, the intended purpose of the loan. You may not have a good reason for getting it, or it could be just bad economic times and banks are not loaning right now. And then collateral. You know, a lot of times you need collateral. You're going to put up your house to get a loan to go into business. That would be collateral. And then there's three major credit bureaus, and they're listed down at the bottom with the 800 number for each one. And you know you can get a free credit report, although many of them online will tell you free, and then you go in there and they say, send me $15 or so. But you can get them. I would get them directly from there. Okay, we'll see. We've got two more lessons. Don't forget your calculator and your scissors and your pencil next week.